Today on Real Radio.
But you can be as religious as the Pope. And if you don't know Christ personally, you are alienated from God. You're a stranger and you're a foreigner, and you do not have the commonwealth of His protection around you. And you think about that. It's a tragedy. How many people, because they're religious, they think they can transfer their religiosity into what is called Christianity, and to them it's one and the same. It doesn't matter. Just, you know, don't judge me, and I can do this. And if you, everyone's trying to find their own way, God says, no, it doesn't work that way.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're going through this letter written by Paul verse by verse. So far, we've learned quite a number of benefits to the believer, the follower of Messiah, not the least of which is having access to God. In fact, that's the title of this mini-series that focuses on Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in Having Access to God.
Last week we were studying about how we are God's workmanship, God's poema, remember that? It's what God does with us. He puts us on the wheel and He prepares us. He causes things to come in and out of our lives to mold us and shape us. And then he says, Paul does in this verse, therefore remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh. Well, why don't you hit me upside the head, Paul? I just heard this message about how wonderful I am of God's poetic works. And Paul says, well, you better remember where you've come from. And I don't know how this grabs you, but I was thinking about this. And have you ever seen those people that go to like garage sales and they're able to like find something worthwhile and something that's like profitable for them? Lisa's dad was famous for this stuff. The guy would go to a garage sale and he would buy something and he'd bring it home. He's like, what is this thing? And 2 days later, he's got it like powering his lawnmower automatic. You know, it's like an amazing thing. Well, what is that? Oh, it's a something or other, but I think I'm going to pull it out and reconstruct this thing and make it open up the windows or whatever. It's amazing. Or you see people who go to, like the dumps or something, and they're salvaging through stuff. And you go, what is that guy doing? Well, the guy's probably a millionaire. He takes the stuff home and makes all the stuff and sells it to crazy guys like us at garage sales and stuff, you know. What's he doing? He takes something that to us is nothing and makes it into something fantastic. God does that stuff. Yes, verse 10 says we are His poema, His poetic works, His workmanship. But God, look around at us. Look what God's got to work with. It's like we've been found in a junkyard thing. God looks at us and He says, I got a plan. I'm going to work you and I'm going to make you and I'm going to mold you and shape you. Just remember where you've come from. And you know, we can sit in here tonight and say, well, God can't use me. God can't save me. God can't do this. God can't do the other. I sinned last week or I've never come to Christ. What can He do with me? Listen, He can do everything with you. Remember where you've come from. You think something God is using us now because there's something in us? There's something wonderful? He's saved us. He's put His Holy Spirit in you. And you're redeemable. Stamped right on the back. Deposit guaranteed. 5 cents. God says, no. Deposit guaranteed in the blood of my Son. He thinks we're something. He redeems us. He makes something count. When He looks at us, He sees something. When we look at ourselves, we see nothing. And it's sad. Paul says, these guys who basically put you down, circumcised in the flesh, it is nothing. Verse 12, he says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. The scripture says that without Christ, can you imagine how alone you can possibly be in this life? You and I have been places, maybe not knowing the Lord. That's the only thing that I can refer back to. I don't know how you are, but when I did not know Jesus Christ, I felt alone a lot of the time. And I thank the Lord that for 18 or so years, I haven't felt alone since I've given my heart to Him. But do you remember? Do you remember standing at a party or being somewhere or winning this or having that or acquiring that very thing that you strive for and it's just kind of an emptiness? You remember being in a room so filled with people you could hardly walk and you felt totally alone? We were in the world without Christ. We had nothing. We were hopeless. We didn't have Him. And you and I tonight don't even have a clue about how far away we were from Him. It's amazing. And all that we were doing, all that we were living, all that we were experiencing, we were so alienated from Him. And when He says here that we were out, that we were without Christ, the word insinuates or suggests to us or puts before us that God is on the North Pole and we were on the South Pole, and that's how close we were to God. We were in the world without Christ, completely, completely alienated from Him. That's a very, very sad situation. And that's where all of us have come from, but you know, sometimes we forget. I've mentioned this to you before, that there's times when we're busy, we'll be doing things, and we're serving the Lord or whatever we're doing. Maybe we're just having a good time. And then we remember, man, I'm a Christian. And I'm going to go to heaven. And we've got to remember where we've come from in all these things, that He's absolutely set us free in Christ Jesus. And so He says, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. This word commonwealth is an interesting word. It's our politics, our association. And I want to read this word to you. It's very important and it's worthy of us diving into it a little bit. Commonwealth, the word in the Greek is politia, if I'm saying that right, and it means the citizenship or the community. It's where we get the word metropolitan. It means where we get the place of a walled village or a walled city, not to keep people out or to keep people in, but to keep people safe. A commonwealth. It is a territory or a kingdom to where people are safe. And the Bible says that before we come to Christ, we are alienated from that place of knowing Him, that place of comfort, that place of having a relationship with God. We don't have that secure community that our hearts long for. And so He says here that we are alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Note this, from the commonwealth of Israel and, number two, strangers from the covenants of promise. God had given them so many promises. We didn't have those. We were strangers, the scripture says. And this word stranger means, or aliens, a foreigner, one who is removed from his land and he's in a place totally different. He doesn't understand the language. He doesn't understand the culture or the customs. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in that situation? I remember going to Mexico a long time ago. I'd rather go to, I don't know where, anywhere, but Mexico just scares me. Strap me to a rocket and send me to China, but I don't want to go to Tijuana. We were down there years ago, I crossed the border and I feel so far away and I feel like, oh no, and I don't know what it is. People are talking, it's like, I don't understand Spanish either. What is this? I don't know. And you're a foreigner somewhere and it's like, what is this? Strange. And before we come to Christ, we may do our little religious thing and we're reaching and we're grabbing and we're putting on a crucifix, a cross. I heard somebody the other day, this was a thing on the radio, where somebody was talking about this guy went into the store, in a jewelry store, to buy a cross for his wife. And the jewelry person says, well, do you want one standard or one with a little man on it? A little man? And you see people with the crucifix around their neck. You got to ask them, what are you doing? What is that? Ask them next time you see them. Play really dumb. Say, what is that? Don't say, oh, are you a Christian? They'll say, yeah, sure. If you'd asked them, oh, you have a cross around your neck. Are you a Buddhist? Yeah, sure. The world doesn't know the difference. People are so asleep spiritually. Say, what does that mean? You have, what is that thing around your neck? What is that? It's a cross. Are you a Christian? You sit a cross. I don't care if Jesus is represented on it or not. But the world out there is doing a religious thing, totally alienated from God. That's why they, like a butterfly, go from one flower to the other, trying to sample, you know, what is it? Where am I going to find this thing? And people eventually come into a church, Lord willing, we hope, hearing the word of God, and they've tried everything else in life. And then they come to Jesus and they go, man, this thing is fresh. What is this? What is this news I'm hearing? And it's brand new to them. It's refreshing to them. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But you can be as religious as the Pope. And if you don't know Christ personally, you are alienated from God. You're a stranger and you're a foreigner, and you do not have the commonwealth of His protection around you. And you think about that. It's a tragedy. How many people, because they're religious, they think they can transfer their religiosity into what is called Christianity, and to them it's one and the same. It doesn't matter. Just, you know, don't judge me, and I can do this. And if everyone's trying to find their own way, God says, no, that doesn't work that way. We're strangers if we're not in Him. He says in verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and the strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And not only did we have no hope, he says that we were without God in the world, and this is a very sad thing. It means that we didn't even have a prayer. We were absolutely on our own, and it's by God's grace that we weren't all wiped out or consumed until we've come to Christ. And so we've made it. Some of us in this room, we've made it in. And we think, yeah, you know, I just kind of make it. Yeah. Made it in. And probably the angel that was dispatched to us all of our lives, that guy's probably got scars all over him. He's probably just totally just beat up. And he made it in. The angel falls over, his feet sticking straight up. His wings are all bent. Man, that guy was ever going to save it. We made it in. We have no idea how close we came. We're running from God. God wants to bless us. We're running from Him. I'll never forget this. Lisa and I were going down 17th Street. And right by Santa Ana College, I think it was. And there was this old street man, a homeless man, going down the street, long hair, and he's just dirty. And there's a Carl's Jr. across the street. So we said, let's buy the guy a burger and give it to him. So we go over there, we go through the drive-thru and get a burger, fries, and a Coke. And she's driving, I get in the passenger side because I'm going to go out and hand it to this guy. And this guy, he's just walking along, he's probably like 60 years old. And so she pulls up and I get out and go, hey, mister. And he goes, hey. And I thought, what are we playing, basketball or what here? And the guy, he goes, oh, no. And I go, just a hamburger. And I held up, you know, the star, you know, Carl's Jr. And he goes, no, no. And he starts running. And so I'm going after, hey, wait, mister. It's a burger. And no kidding, the guy crosses the street. I get in the car. He's going over there. Track him. Get him. I'm not kidding. This is unbelievable. There he goes. He's over there. We go over there. Hey, mister. Hey, look, a burger. So now I'm saying, will you eat this thing? Hamburger. You want to put him out of his misery. I mean, it's just sad. I mean, what? I want to bless you, mister. And he's like, you know, poor guy. And no doubt he had been abused his life, and I'm making fun of something that was kind of sad. But you think about it, that's how we were running around, you know. God says, hey, hold still, I want to bless you. No way, man, no. And we're running. God goes, come here. You know, he's chasing us down. And we got all these reasons why we can't have that burger. We can't have that blessing. You see, when we're running from him at the first, it's get out of my face. I want to live my own life. I want to have fun. And Satan is such a slick devil. He's the best devil going. He's a great devil. He gets you sold on your own bill of goods in the beginning, and then someday along the road, the scale tips, and it's instantly. And now it's, I've been so bad. I need God, but he'll never have me. And Satan goes, yep, that's right. He lets you do your thing, and then the moment you've done all that thing, and you are set, fed up and sick of it, and you're thinking about coming to God, Satan says, well, you can't do that. You look at the way you've lived. Well, I think you pushed me. Well, don't blame me on it, like Flip Wilson. The devil made me do it, you know. Well, it's a weird thing. God wants to bless us, and we're running from him all around town. A lot of people running from God. Maybe you're running from God tonight. You're running. He wants to bless you. You've been running. Things have happened in your life. And sometimes people say, God, why are you doing this to me? And so I get your attention. I've been trying to talk to you gently. I'm wagging this bag in front of your face, and you've just been putting me off, so I ran you over the car to get your attention. He just wants to bless us. He's like a good, precious father to us, because he is. And we need to remember that we're his kids if we've come to faith in him. You want to bless your children. I'm going away soon. And I always get sentimental before I'm going away. So, you know, driving down your night. Hey, Ashley, I'm going to go away, you know. I'm going to be gone, you know, for a while. Does that make you sad? And I don't like to be missed. I really abhor that feeling. I can't stand for somebody to be missing me. It makes me kind of angry. I don't like that. I want them to have a great time and not even know I'm gone. And so, listen, are you okay? You know, everything fine. Are you going to do great? You're going to do, oh, yeah, fine. What are you asking for? Fine, I'm fine. You want to bless them. You want to make sure their day is filled, you know, with fun. And God wants to make sure that our lives are filled with him. But if we're not with him, people, if you're in this room tonight and you're not with the Lord, listen, you are so alienated from God. You are so separated from him. You have no idea how far you are away from him until a moment happens in your life when you begin to think, now, yes, I'm going to cry out to him. And what does the scripture say? Romans says it's even in your mouth and it's in your heart that you cry out to him and he'll save you. But here's Paul, you know, after painting the beautiful, beautiful picture of his workmanship, now he's saying, man, you're just absolutely worthless, you know. You're alienated from God. You didn't have nothing. I mean, look at me. He's kind of like a dad. You know, the kid's standing there. He's getting ready to go out somewhere. And look at you. Your hair's undone. You're tight. Look at that, your thing. And he's just all over you. And just when, you know, you think you're going to just start breaking down in tears, he comes to verse 13. And he says, but now. Isn't that good news? But now. I hope I can say this word right. I looked up the word but and what it is in the English language. It is a disassociative conjunction. Did you get that? Remember that from school? Disassociative conjunction. Listen, it means to connect the past. Well, that's important to us because we like the past of Ephesians 2. It means to connect the past to the present, which illuminates the future. That's what that but in verse 13 is all about. It says, go look at what I've been saying and how you were in the contrast of your past life. Consider the present workings of God in your life, and hey, it's going to illuminate your future. Hey, I don't know about you, but that blesses me big time right now. I know what I used to be. I know what I am. I'm certainly not what I used to be. But I'm certainly not what I hope to be. But I don't have to hope to be that thing in the future, because what He's done in the past guarantees my future. My job is to hang on to His robe. Abide in Christ, John 15 says. Just stay with Him. You know, some people get all wigged out over this thing about abiding in the Lord. Oh, does that mean we have to work? No. Does that mean we're responsible? No. Come on, let's stop being so lame-brained and start thinking about a relationship. You tell somebody you love them, but you never come home. You never call them. You never have a life with them. God wants us to have a relationship with Him. It's a two-way street. It's an interaction. And our experience with the Lord about abiding with Him is, listen, we are to hang with Him. We are to read His love letter. We are to experience Him. And when we don't, we suffer. Just like any other relationship. No communication, dries up. Sustained period of time, no communication, blows away. God's the same way with us. No communication, gets dry. Oh, I feel so dry. When people come in, people call. I mean, I feel so dry. I feel so dry. Are you praying? No, no. Are you reading your Bible? It's been like about a week or two or maybe three, four. Okay, that's it. I know we've been scheduled for like an hour, but we're all done now. It's true. You know, sometimes we'll get together and that's the case, and somebody will say, well, you know what, I'm feeling really dry, and you know what, we'll just open up the Bible and start reading it out loud. I'll take verse 1, you take verse 2, and I'll take verse 3, and you take verse 4. It's really cool. Try that next time. Watch what happens. Feeling a little dry? Start reading the Word. It's communication with God. It's a beautiful thing. He says, now, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been made near by the blood of Christ. Have been made near by the blood of Christ. Listen, people, in Christ changes everything. I don't care what your story is.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. In fact, this is a mini-series called Having Access to God, which means we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you've ever had the desire to learn more about history's most influential individual, please take advantage of our current offer. It's valuable in more ways than one. We're talking about Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It's a valuable tool in helping us to better understand the culture of the period, the political climate, the way in which those awaiting Messiah's arrival thought, and so forth. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch with us by calling, clicking, or writing, just ask for it by title, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.